Well, hello and welcome to the next in our series on facing the issues. We're using 1 and 2 Timothy as a foundation for this message. Have your Bible ready. We'll be looking at another in this series in just a moment. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went unto Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Well, we read here that Timothy had some people in the church who were desiring to be teachers. The root problem was, and is today, pride. Verse 7 says they were desiring to be teachers. They feel they are smarter than the average person in the church, including the pastor, and they desire to teach them. It would be great if these people who desire to be teachers would go out and teach, as we see in verse 9 and 10, the lawless and the disobedient, the ungodly, sinners, unholy, profane, murderers, whoremongers, them that defile themselves with mankind, men-stealers, liars, and all the rest that's mentioned in these few verses, rather than messing up the minds of the Christians in the local church. Verse 7 goes on to say they don't understand what they're talking about. Verse 8 tells us, in Ephesus, they were teaching that they needed to go back under the law rather than the glorious gospel that was committed to Paul. Well, one of the problems that we have today is we want to have peaceful coexistence with these troublemakers. Timothy, the pastor, had the tremendous responsibility, according to verse 18, to war a good warfare. One of the reasons many local churches are in the mess they're in today is because pastors want to live in peaceful coexistence with those who are causing trouble in the church. The next verse, Paul exposes two troublemakers by name. He speaks of Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. There was no peaceful coexistence with those who sought to cause division in the local church. We read in 8 through verse 11 that they were dealing with the problem there of Judaism. Now we have different problems today. Our problem today, one is that we're dealing with what the Bible calls a damnable heresy. One of the most wicked heresies infecting our churches today is Calvinism. One thing pastors need to get straight is that those who hold to false doctrine need to be handled like Paul handled it in his day. In recent years, those who promote Calvin's heresy have infiltrated fundamental Baptist colleges, and therein lies our problem. They never should have been allowed to infiltrate. The problem is that fundamental leaders want to live in peaceful coexistence with their friends, even if they're promoting the heresy that says that God brought some people in this world for no other reason than to have them burn in hell for eternity. That's Calvin's heresy, and it needs to be dealt with. Well, let me get into verse 12. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. In the middle of Paul's introduction to Timothy, about all the serious problems he has to handle, he expresses his thanks to the Lord for enabling him to do what God wanted him to do. One day, Paul was saved, and we read that he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Every pastor has something God wants him to do, and God will enable that pastor to do it. God does not want every pastor just to imitate other pastors. What we need to do is take care of our own responsibilities as pastors. In Acts 20 and 24, we read Paul was concerned about his God-given responsibilities, and he said, "Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord." Paul kept his focus on his responsibilities, and at the end of his life, he wrote in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have finished my course." Paul had finished his course, and he finished it with joy. And even as he sits in a prison cell, he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." He did not say, "Give thanks for everything." He said, "In everything." The report that Paul gave in 2 Corinthians 11 through 24, we read of the everything that Paul was in. Verse 23, "In stripes, above measure, in prison, more frequent, in deaths, often." 24, he says, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." Can you imagine what his back looked like? In 25, "Thrice was I beaten with rods, and once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep." Then here he is saying, "I thank God for putting me in the ministry." We need to get serious about our little problems that we have in our local churches. We don't have any problems at all compared to what he went through. In verse 26, he said, "In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold, in nakedness." 28, "Besides those things are that are without that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Even as Paul writes to Timothy about being thankful, he is sitting in a dungeon waiting execution. Be thankful. Thank God that he's given you the ministry that he has given, but then he's given you the ability to take care of it. Paul was saying to Timothy, "I finished my course, now finish yours." Timothy was facing some very trying times in his local church, and Paul wanted him to understand that he needed to be thankful that God trusted him with such a tremendous responsibility. And so do we today. Paul wanted Timothy's testimony to be, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, and that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry." That should be our testimony as pastors today. Paul said he was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, "But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief." A blasphemer, as a blasphemer, he attacked the person of Christ. As a persecutor, he persecuted the people of Christ. As injurious, he hindered the program of Christ. But Paul said, "I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief." When he was persecuting Christians, he thought he was doing God's will. He was ignorant of the fact that the local church age was getting underway, and he simply did not understand that he was fighting against God. Verse 14, it says, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Considering Paul's hatred for Christians and his hatred for Christ, his conversion was a great example of the grace and love of Christ. Also, the grace and love of Christ is seen in the faith it produced in the Apostle Paul. Verse 15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." The closer Paul got to the Lord, the more he saw himself as he really was. He ended his life considering himself to be the chief of sinners. Like Job of old, we read that Job got close to the Lord through his circumstances. God allowed the devil to put Job through all the things that he went through. And then Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and in ashes. Job chapter 42, verses 5 and 6. The circumstances the pastor must go through will either make him bitter or it will make him better. And the only difference in the two words is the letter I. Paul the Apostle was a pattern. He said, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You see, there's far more to being a pastor than looking good in the eyes of those who have a shallow expectation of what a pastor is supposed to accomplish. Pastors are called upon by God to be a pattern of all longsuffering. God's church manual for the pastor here in 1 and 2 Timothy speaks of keeping the church pure, stopping the wolves at the door, and being a pattern to show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Me first, he said, as a pattern. When Jesus was seeking disciples, many had a me first problem. In Luke 9 and 59, we read, he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. In Luke 9 and 61, he said, another said also, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at my father's house. There are few who would take the position of Paul and say that me first as a pattern of long suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do today. Verse 17 says, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. As Paul sits in the dampness of the dungeon, having been put there by Caesar, Caesar felt very important as he ruled and passed decrees. However, his kingdom came to an end, and his body has laid in a grave somewhere now for 2,000 years. Paul rejoices in the fact that his faith rests in the King eternal, the King who has honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, back to the business at hand. Verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. A good warfare. In Paul's letter to the church, we read in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks to the pastor in the local church about the warfare they are involved in, and he talked about armor and a shield and fiery darts and a helmet and a sword and warfare. He said, it's a warfare, 1 Corinthians 9:7. And the weapons of our warfare he talked about in 2 Corinthians 10:4. Paul talked about enduring hardness as a good soldier, 2 Timothy 2:3. Paul commanded Timothy to war a good warfare. At the end of his life, he said, I have fought a good fight, 2 Timothy 4:7. Our modern-day church manuals are helpful concerning the organization and mechanical things in the church. However, God's church manual deals with more important issues. Verse 18, Paul said, this charge I commit unto thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. One can be sure that when a pastor faithfully follows God's directions, as Paul did in the next verse, that a warfare will be underway. Verses 19 and 20, we read, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Faith and a good conscience. The word faith and conscience are found together in three verses in 1 Timothy. Paul mentions a good conscience and a faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved and turned aside unto vain jangling, 1 Timothy 1, verse 5 and 6. In verse 19, he talks about holding the faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. And then in chapter 3, Paul talks about holding the faith, the mystery of the faith, in a pure conscience. Now, these self-appointed teachers were causing a lot of harm. Hymenaeus, a self-appointed teacher, is seen promoting disunity in the church. One of his converts was Alexander. By the time we get to 2 Timothy 2:17, we find Hymenaeus is doing much harm in the local church at Ephesus. And he's picked up another assistant in his work for the devil. And his name is Philetus. In 2 Timothy 4:14, we read that Alexander the coppersmith had joined the team of infiltrators into the church. And Paul said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, and the Lord reward him according to his works. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. We read in Acts 19:33 that Alexander had stood firm during the riot back there in the local church in Acts 19. He changed his position under the influence of Hymenaeus and his followers, and the result was he made shipwreck. Now, shipwrecks don't just happen. There's always a reason when people make shipwreck of their lives. Verse 19, the result of going in a wrong direction after making a wrong decision. Verse 19 says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. The phrase put away literally means to thrust or push away. It refers to an intentional turning from the truth to error. Somewhere along the way, Hymenaeus, Alexander, Philetus, and all those who listened to them rejected the sound doctrine that they had heard. They all ended up in the sad state that they were in because they intentionally turned from the truth and embraced error. Every day when we wake up, we immediately begin to make choices. Every day when trying circumstances come along, we have no choice but to choose. Hymenaeus, Alexander and Philetus all made choices. In Deuteronomy 30 and 15, God said, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. He continued in verse 19, saying, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. It's a choice. We make our choices and we end up with the consequences of those choices. We have no choice but to choose, and we have the freedom to choose however we want, but we cannot choose the consequences of our choices. The move from truth to error is never made in an instant. The Bible gives an example of a backslidden heifer in Hosea 4 and verse 16, where we read, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. The backslider is like a heifer or an ox that is in a double yoke. Both of the oxen are pulling together, supposed to be dragging the cart or the plow forward. The backsliding heifer decides to turn to the one side or the other or just stop in its tracks. To be backslidden is to refuse to go forward or to turn from God's prescribed course. Shipwrecks, as I said, don't just happen. They happen for a reason. Shipwrecks take place when ships are allowed to drift with no set course. Sometimes they have an incorrect course that causes them to smash upon the rocks. Ships can also be wrecked when they're overloaded. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Paul's responsibility of dealing with two men in the local church is seen in the next verse. He said in verse 20, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. While dealing with a discipline problem, which really is a project in the book of Corinthians, we read that Paul said that they were to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the old lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. Local church discipline is an unpleasant thing, but it is a responsibility that the pastor has. When dealing with it in the church at Corinth, Paul commanded them to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good, Paul said. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 5 through 7. Church discipline. The foundation for church discipline is love. Paul begins in chapter 1 and verse 14 with a focus on love. He ends his letter to the pastor in chapter 6 with a focus on love. When he wrote Timothy, his second letter, in chapter 1 and verse 7 and 13, his focus is still on love. He ends his second letter to the pastor in chapter 4 with a focus on love. Our first concern must be our love for Christ and then our love for his people. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There is more to real love than some emotional sweet word or some kind of a soft and warm fuzzy feeling. The apostle, who was noted for his love, John, said, let us love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 3:18. And so, as previously mentioned, there was no little sermon hoping to fix the problem. When Christ was upset about sin in his Father's house, he took a whip into the temple to straighten things out that needed straightening out. The foundation for all that Jesus did was love. Love for his Father, love for his Father's house, and love for every sinner. Discipline is not something you do to someone, it is something you do for them. He did not love them any less with a whip in his hand than he did when he was hanging on the cross for these same people. Paul said, they were delivered unto Satan that they may learn. Discipline in the local church is not done to get rid of someone. It's done to help them. In the Old Testament, we read, God commanded Moses in Deuteronomy 4:10 to gather me, the people, together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Deuteronomy 31:12, God said, gather the people together that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. When God's people refused to listen to God-given leadership during the Old Testament, God turned them over to their enemies. In Psalm 106:42, he says, their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. It was for their good that they were turned over to their enemies, because they wouldn't listen any other way. In the New Testament, Jesus said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. John 16:13. When Christians like Hymenaeus and Alexander refuse to listen to the Holy Spirit as he speaks through God-given leadership in the local church, they are to be disciplined out of the local church. In 1 Timothy 1:20, Paul said, they are to be delivered unto Satan that they may learn. They need to learn. They're going to learn one way or another. In the Old Testament, God turned them unto their enemies. Well, our greatest enemy is Satan. If you're not going to listen any other way, maybe you'll listen to him. Well, learning not to blaspheme, we learn in verse 13, Paul referred to himself as a blasphemer. However, he said he obtained mercy because he did it in ignorance and unbelief. When Paul met Christ on the road to Damascus, two things happened. First, he responded immediately concerning his need to trust Christ as his Savior. Second, he responded immediately about what God would have him do as a Christian. When God spoke to Paul, we read, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Acts chapter 9 and 6. Well, Hymenaeus and Alexander were without excuse. They had been members of the local church in Ephesus when God was blessing in a marvelous way. They were not doing what they did in ignorance. They made a conscious decision to fight against the leadership of God, the leadership that God had sent, and God never takes that wicked sin lightly. Therefore, concerning Hymenaeus and Alexander, Paul said, I have delivered them unto Satan that they might learn not to blaspheme. We're living in an age when there's a lot of nonsense going on in the church that needs to be dealt with. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?